And as I got before the Lord and just meditating, seeking the Lord dropped this in my heart. He said, a lot of my people today, he said, are not pursuing the promises. They're not going after the promises. He said, therefore, they're not going to have a manifestation of the promises. And so how many knows we got to make sure that we pursue the promises of God. And I just began to meditate on it, think about it, and I thought about how after I got born again, I didn't feel worthy, you know, to ask God for anything or all of that stuff, you know. And so I didn't ask him for really a whole lot because I felt like I've done so much in my life, you know. I'm just glad to be saved, and he brought my family back. But then I began to get in the Bible, and I began to find the promises. I began to read, not all of them at one time. I wasn't necessarily in there hunting the promises or nothing. I was just, you know, reading the Bible, and like we ought to every day, meditating on the Word every day. And I started running across promises. I run across the Scripture where, and we'll read it in a minute, where it says that all the promises are in Him, yes and amen. All the promises. Somebody say all. And so the first thing that we got to get down in our hearts, you know, is righteousness. We're made the righteousness of God. We are. You can't get no more right with God after righteousness has been imputed to you. That means you can't grow in righteousness. You are made righteous. Now, we can grow in faith and grow in love, and we can grow, you know, develop spiritually and develop our faith, but you can't get no more right standing with God than when you were born again. You were made right standing, made the righteousness of God. Put that up our best, 2 Corinthians, I think it's 1:20. Because this is a major issue. If you don't believe that you are right with God, you might say, well, I'm not perfect. That's got nothing to do with it. You got to understand that. That has nothing to do with you being righteous. See, we're quiet in here. I mean, I'm just telling you the Bible's true. And so until we get that down, that we are in right standing with God. Now, if you ain't been born again, you are not the righteousness of God. You don't have access to God's promises. You have access to His promises through Jesus. He's the one that makes you right, makes you in right standing with God, puts you in a place to where everything that is God's is yours. Access to everything that is God. It says, for all the promises of God are in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. So he says here in Corinthians, Paul did, he said, all the promises of God are in Jesus. Yes. And so be it. Amen means so be it. It's done. It's finished. And so all of God's promises are for us. And they are, all of God's promises are accessed because of our faith through the grace. Grace is God's favor. Grace is, it's called a lot of stuff, but it is the favor of God. Grace, God favored us and gave us Jesus. And so all of God's promises are yes and in Him, amen. And I was thinking about this. The Lord said, I want you to tell them about a couple of things, you know, like this church, you know. I didn't have the ability to make this church happen. God told me He wanted to do it, and it don't matter if it's a church or whatever God tells you. Whatever God tells you, you have the grace to do it. You have God's favor. All the promises of God, you have the ability to lay hold of them. Through Jesus, through because of your faith, your confidence in the Lord Jesus and what He did at Calvary. But anyways, the Lord wanted me to start a church here. And I had a Bible study back there. And somebody asked me, they said, "Man, there's churches all over Bluntsville." I can't, you know, and I said, "Yeah." I said, "I told the Lord there's 13. I went and counted them. I went and told the Lord there's 13 churches down there. That don't make no sense. One red light and 13 churches. You know? I mean, how many churches do you need down here?" That's what I told him. I said, "None of that matters." I said, "Only thing that it matters for me and you, whatever God tells you to do, you just do it." I said, "Whatever God tells me to do, I said, I've just got to do it, you know." I said, "It don't matter how many churches, it don't matter what people think, it don't matter, none of that matters." And so that was a promise to me. Whatever God promises you, they're in Him, yes and amen. and so the I had to go get it rezoned, you know, and because to have a church in the city limits, I don't know if it's ever like that, it's got to be zoned commercial, and this was zoned residential. And so I found out how to do it, and I went and put in the paperwork and all of that stuff, and did what I needed to do. And they, y'all know the story, they sent letters out to within 500 foot of this building. And if all those people disagreed, it couldn't happen. I mean, just if the majority of the people that live within 500 foot said, "Not going to happen, we don't want it to happen," then by law, I couldn't do it. It just out. And so every letter came back, and the mayor called me to come down there. Every letter came back, and there was not one for it. See, just because you meet opposition in the promises of God don't mean that it's not God. I mean, when you're believing for healing and prosperity, believe to live strong and old, be strong, you know, long, satisfied life, and opposition comes, don't mean that it's not God wanting or going to do it. Now, I could have quit right then. I could have quit and said, "Well, maybe I missed God." And people told me, "Well, what if it wasn't God?" I said, "Well, I know God. And I know He put it on my heart." See, and I knew that I'm in the will of God. You're in the will of God believing God for your healing. You're in the will of God believing God to be a good father, a good mother, to prosper, you know, to be in the anointing. The promises are in Him, yes and amen. And so, anyways, I went and I rolled that over on the Lord. I told that mayor, I said, "What have I got to do?" He said, "The next meeting in a month," told me the date. He said, you got to show up, and you know, and people will give their reasons, and you know, and I thought, well, I said, "Okay." I said, "I'll be there." And so anyways, y'all know the story. I went in there and God sent angels. I don't know, they was men, but I believe the Bible says, "Beware who we entertain, cause some have entertained angels unaware." Well, if there's an angel sitting there and it's just a mist, I'm aware of it. But if it's men, I'm not aware. And so they went through and all of that stuff, you know. But in between the time that I started it, and this time, it tried to discourage me because I'm like, "Man, what's wrong with these people? I'm trying to make the community better, a church to make the community." See, Satan, he don't see it that way. And anybody not serving Jesus, they see it the way Satan sees it. Going to create traffic, whatever the case might be, you know. And they're blinded. They're blind. So don't expect everybody to understand you when you are believing God for stuff. Even believers, don't criticize and judge them, but don't confer with flesh and blood whether you ought to be blessed or not. The Bible says you're blessed going in. You'll be blessed going. He is telling the children of Israel that, and he's telling us today, if we will hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, all these blessings will come on us and overtake us. And they did through Jesus. I mean, the blessing of the Lord is an empowerment to preach the gospel, an empowerment to be the Bible says we're ambassadors. You know, an ambassador is one that carries a message. Well, ambassador is one that goes forth. Me and you are ambassadors. We'll get the scripture a little bit and get a little ahead of myself. But anyways, I go in there, and in between then and there, it tried to worry me. It tried to worry me. Oh, God. Why is all these... that my thoughts went off right to start. How many knows? If you don't take authority over your thoughts will dominate you. You'll believe you're sick because you feel it. When the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes you... that's a promise. By Jesus' stripes you were healed. The Bible says all through there, Jesus, he said, your faith has made you whole. With God, all things are possible to those that believe. See, God asks us to walk in the supernatural and be supernatural. God's not asking us to walk down here powerless as born-again believers. We're in this world, but we're not in it. Our identity is in Christ Jesus, and all the promises of God that are in this Bible belong to me and you. Now, as you read it and hear preached and you pray and you read the Bible and you read books, promises will start to light up to you. They'll come alive in you. He'll do it. And then when you do that, you got to pursue it. You have to pursue the promise. I could have quit and laid it down and said, well, God, there's just nothing I can do about it. I mean, it's impossible. Everybody here is against me, even the churches. Some of them. Because I'm going to steal their members. They're not theirs anyways. And I probably wouldn't want half of them. Get them where they're not baby-fied and all that, and then... you know, they want me to... I should have told them, well, I'll take them over here and teach them how to submit to you and how to let you preach whatever the Lord says and you can have a banking account without them and all that stuff. And then I'll send them back to you and then you'll be glad you got them. But I don't know their reasons, you know. But all of that didn't really matter. God wanted me to do, and God wants you to do, and God wants you to believe, and God wants you to prosper, and people's going to get upset with you. I mean, we're living in a time where darkness is even getting in the churches now in a major way. And that's fine. I'm not going to judge all that and all that, praise God, but I'm going to guard. How many knows the Bible says, guard our hearts, for out of it flows the issues of life. You're a Christian. We don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's wrong with people these days. I do. I understand full well. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power. I know where we're at. We're in the last days. But I know the Bible says, over there, he says, he said, darkness will cover the earth, Isaiah. Darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. We can see that majorly. He said, but arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen. This is the year of the glory of the Lord. This is going to be a year, and God is doing it to us. He's bringing it to us. He's causing you to feel like we're family. We are. He's bringing that anointed grace bond. I mean, to where we would lay our lives down for one another. That's the anointing. That's the oneness that God does by His Spirit, because we realize that we are not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're not going to let ball games get in the way. We're not going to let fishing trips. We're not going to let vacations get in the way. We're not going to let anything. We're not going to let how we feel get in the way. We are going to be unified in the Spirit by the bond of the Spirit. And there is where the grace comes, the ability comes, the anointing, the increase of the Word, the increase of God's Spirit on the body. And y'all all out there in Facebook land that's sitting at home tonight and you could come to church, you can't feel what we're feeling. You can hear what I'm saying, but you can't feel the Spirit unless He actually decides, that God does, to let the Holy Spirit let you feel it over there. And probably, if you can, sacrifice those little bit of time to go forth, then you won't experience what we experience in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. So if you're out of church, get back to your church. And then tell your pastor, send me an offering. I got you back in there through preaching about going to church. Whoo! You want to be blessed out there in TV land? Facebook, YouTube, send us an offering. You can get it on the website. Send us an offering over here. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good. We're anointed ground. We're anointed. We have an anointing on us to prosper, spirit, soul, and body, through these promises that I'm talking about. Hallelujah. But you know, I went in there, I rolled that over on the Lord, and I told God, I said, I'm not going to worry. God, worry is sin. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry. Do not worry. Do not give it. Don't take no thought saying anything like that. I know Travis had a motorcycle wreck back, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, whatever it was. And when I heard about it, I guess it was through Beth, I'm headed out to where he's at. And Teresa, she says, don't you say nothing contrary to the word. I said, I won't. Well, are the promises in times when you ought to panic, are they good? Yes, they are. But you can panic. You can give in to your situation, and then the grace can't show up. The anointing can't show up. And so I said, she didn't even have to tell me, but that's a good thing for her to have said it. Why? Because we know that there is what in the tongue? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. If you believe you're not going to be healed and you say you're not going to be healed, you're not going to be healed. And if you believe that you are the righteousness, give me that script, that next in Beth. Let's go ahead and read it. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to show you. For he, Jesus, hath made him, God has made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm righteous. I am righteous. Well, you cussed Reese out last week. I didn't. I'm just making them. I'm still righteous. Me doing that did not change the righteousness of God. Now, he won't allow me to keep on doing that. He'll convict me, and he'll want me to change, and he don't want me cussing her out, and that's not what people do. See, but because I have been made righteous, those works of righteousness are bearing on me. Not to throw garbage out on the side of the road. You know, put my buggy back at Walmart. Don't let it run into nobody's car. That's not works I do to be right. That's works that are working in me because I am right. I preach the gospel because it's the right thing to do. He told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That they would send me into all the world. That I was a minister of the gospel. For me not to do that would be sin. It would. It would not be well with me. But I'm going to do it because righteousness works. Listen, we've been made right. You can't make yourself no more right if you never make another mistake in your life. You will be no more right than you are right now. If you're not born again, then you're a child of the devil. I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you are not right with Jesus, Satan is your God. He is your father. And he is the father of lies. He kills, steals, and destroys. And those workings are going to manifest themselves somehow in your life without anything you can do about it other than submit yourself to the Lord Jesus and let Him become Lord and not Savior. Let the righteousness of, let right standing come into your life. We've been reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. We're made right because we are in God through Christ Jesus. Healing is a promise to the righteous. He said He would drive sickness and disease far from us. Now, when it comes to our gates, I mean, I've faced physical stuff for 30 years. I ain't dead yet. If I feel weak, I say, I'm strong. I tell the Lord if I feel weak, if I feel something in my body, bless God, I pursue the promise. I say, look, glory to God, hallelujah. I just heard Bradley preach up at Faith Restoration, and he was talking about identifying with the new man. And when somebody gets baptized and they identify, he's seen them get healed, get baptized, and come up healed. Because they are believing that they are baptized into Christ Jesus. The old man is going under and the new man is coming up. It's washed by the washing, by the water, by the word. We're baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. But the Bible says we were crucified with Him. We were buried with Him, and we were raised with Him, praise God. And He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He defeated sickness and disease. He put the poverty under, and when He hung on the cross, and He said, it is finished. Hallelujah. But we got to pursue these promises, and we have an enemy. The only real problem the enemy does to Christians is that thought life. I'm not worthy. He ain't going to tell me I'm old at 60 or 70. Old is, they lived 600-700 years old in the Bible. Right? They dead. I'm promised a heathen. People without God are promised 80. We have the promises of God, 120 years. Well, I'm not going to settle down here at 70 and say, well, you're washed up, you need to retire from preaching, blah, blah. He's going to try it, Johnny. He's going to try it. He told me I couldn't come to church after I had a heart attack. And I didn't even know how weak I was because I wasn't weak on the inside. On the inside, I was strong. I'm ready to run, man. I'm ready to go. Even Bradley, he told me, he said, don't go to preach too quick now. I'm like, okay, man, I mean, I got a message. He said, I know you do, but just take it easy for a little while. Don't go preach, you know. But I thought, no, glory to God, this body ain't going to tell me what was I doing. It wasn't that I was being rebellious. I got the promises that I'm strong in Him and in the power of, I'm not going to give in to this and let the way I feel be the rest of my life. I got sick and tired of being defeated when I was in my teens and in marriage. I got sick and tired of it. Heard a preacher one night, he's preaching, he said, until you get sick and tired of being defeated, he said, as a Christian, you're going to stay defeated. He said, but when you get sick and tired of it and you get ready to lay hold of the promises of God, and I mean lay hold and pursue them, he said, then and only then is the power to have success going to come into your life. I thought about the Lord give me a sermon one time, why sit you there till you die? And I got it out of 2 Kings, I believe it's 5 or 7. It was two leprous men, you know. And the Syrians had come in there and they had took the city and had the city and had all the food and stuff, you know. Wasn't no food to buy, and they were, it was in the era where, I mean, there was a famine and they were killing each other's kids. One of them say, let's take your kid and kill it and boil it and eat it today, and then we'll take yours tomorrow and kill it and eat it. Y'all go read it. They were doing that, starving to death. And these two leprous men are put outside the city. They're not even allowed in the city. But the enemy's in the city, and they've got all the food they need. They've got gold and silver. They've got all just steps in there. And I'm reading that one night, and I read it, and And they decided, they said, if we sit here, we're going to die. He said, if we go in, they might kill us. But if we go in, they don't kill us, we'll live. But if we sit out here, we'll die. And they decided to get up and go in. And when they got up and started in, God caused them, the enemy, to hear what they thought was great army coming. I mean, they thought, man, they done hired a bunch of them, and they're fixing to kill us all. And they got up and left it all. They didn't even get their horses, man. They run out of there. Man, they took off. And them lepers, man, they looked in there, and they're like, we don't see nobody. There wasn't nobody in the city, man. Because God caused the enemy to hear an army that was only two leprous guys. And they went in and they're like, they're going in there. I can just imagine, man. They're looking around. They're like, good Lord, the food's still hot. It's still boiling. Look at the coffee, man. Good Lord, let's go. They went in a tent and raided it and took it all out, run out and hit it. Boy, they eat and all that. And they did two or three of them like that and they started feeling guilty. They said, man, we're not doing right here. So they said, so we got to go tell the king. So they go tell the king. Then the king says, oh, I don't know about all that, man. They're going to ambush us. They left and we get in there, then they're going to come on us. And Elijah prophesied to them. And they went in and they went from rags to riches. And God told me, I just seen all of that while I read that story. And I mean, I seen it in my spirit. He said, son, he said, you can't sit here until and let poverty rule in your life. He said, you can't. He said, you got to get up and pursue my promises. He said, you can't sit down and just be settled with a halfway marriage, just making it. He said, you got to get up and pursue. He said, you got to get up and pursue the ministry that I want you to do. He said, you got to get up and go. Yes, the enemy's holding a lot of stuff back from you. He said, but go in and take it. And then they started singing a song right after that at my church. And it says, we went to the enemy's camp and we took back what he stole from us. And I'm like, what? Glory to God, man. That's what the leprous guys did, man. They went right in there and they began to pursue the good. They left out there wealthy, man. I mean, they left out there. They didn't have to walk no more. They had donkeys. I mean, they had pack mules. I don't know what all they had. But they come out. I mean, they came out. And God used that. God used that in my life 26, 7 years ago. Praise God. That I don't have to sit back and not live a good life. That I can move forward and believe the promises of God. But you know, I had to get it down in my heart that I am right with God and He's good with me and everything because of Jesus. Nothing that I did and nothing that I do will cause God not to love me. Nothing that you can do, even bad things, will cause God not to love you. And because God loves us, He will tell us, I want you to forgive your enemies. I want the power to come in your life for you to be free. I want you to trust me to help you overcome jealousy, which is fear. Jealousy is fear. So y'all young kids, when you get a girlfriend, boyfriend, don't ever be jealous. Just don't do it. It's fear. Just don't. You're afraid of losing. You're afraid. All of that's fear. See, you're going into it at however old you are, and I learned that at around 30. And you never have to experience that prison. That is a prison. You might be walking around, but you're tormented in that mindset, in your heart, you're tormented. It don't have to be your girlfriend, boyfriend, or your wife, or whatever. Or your husband. It can be anything. You can be afraid of sickness and disease, afraid of COVID. I'm not afraid of COVID. COVID's still around. When the church began to realize, most of the church began to realize, I'm not bowing to this. We're not going to bow to this. And then the world got tired of it. The whole world started getting tired of the mandates and the can't do nothing and telling them, you know, you can't have life and you can't sing. You can't sing in church. Oh boy, that made me want to blow that TV out the window. Tell me I can't sing in church. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, don't it? It didn't say if COVID comes or government comes, just don't do it no more. The Bible says that we can obey God. It says the obedience is better than sacrifice. And His promise said no weapons formed. If I got beheaded for the gospel, no weapon formed against me prospered. Always remember that. Well, if they cut your head off, you got defeated. No, I didn't. No, I got to die is gain. To die is gain. Fear not what man can do to you, the Bible says. The Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? If you get killed for the gospel, I mean, we're not even living here. We can't imagine life after here. We're gonna be transferred into a body that can handle God. And then we're gonna be in His presence. They may be some giant fish up there. You know Harleys come out of God. Yeah. Everything you see came from Him. Man, ain't that, they're not that smart. The Bible says that He give us all things richly to enjoy. Hallelujah. So the promise, whatever God's promised in His Word that you come across and you read, I mean, if I was these teenagers, I'd lay down and I'd take that scripture right there and I would say it over and over to God. Thank you, Lord, that I am the righteousness. I've been made right with you through Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God. I would say that and I would say that and I would say that till I had to be held back. And then I would get the scriptures in there where it says that we're kings and priests unto God. And then I would enter into that school and I'd be like, they need me here. Oh, I got an anointing. I'm anointed. I am the anointed one of God. Hallelujah. You might say, well, I'm just a teenager. Nah. A teenager ain't got nothing to do about it. Read your Bible. David was anointed of God as a teenager. I'm talking about age ain't got. God's got His hand on you. He's got His hand on this young generation. He's got it on them. I mean, He's putting His finger on them, but you've got to rise up. I mean, if you've got to rise up and you've got to do the things. You need to read and you need to meditate and you need to say it. Say, I'm anointed. You feel like you're not anointed. You feel like you're no good. You say, God has made me right with Him and I am a king and a priest. I'm the apple of God's eye. He tell you washed up. He tell you getting old. Oh, you're just going to be dead. He tells me all the time, you're going to need a shorter tractor or get an elevator to get up on the bottom step where you can get up there and drive it. Yeah. I seen a thing on Facebook and some guy had put an elevator on there for his dad. You know, just he goes down the ground, picks him up, and then he can get in his tractor and all that. And I went, not my future. I could have said, "Woo, yeah, baby. I'll always be able to get on there. There's me a way up there. Now I'm going to jump on up there like I normally do." Started jumping out of the back of the truck the other day, and I had this thought, don't jump out, man. I mean, you're a little more frail than you've always been. You know what I done? Jumped out, Mac. I don't need an audience. If I hadn't had the thought, I might have climbed over on the tire and got out, but I had that thought, and I thought, you're not going to move me that way. I'm not going to take that thought and do nothing with it, praise God. Why? Because the Bible says in there that He will give me long, satisfied, not weak, not defeated life. But you know what? The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I can start thinking that, and by the time I'm 70 years old, I ain't going to be doing nothing. Sitting on the couch watching TV like Teresa does. Like, nothing wrong with that. I mean, she'd... She, if I want a good movie, I go to the house and she finds this one. We We have a good time watching movies. I have to control myself because I like to. I'm a go-getter. But she has rest. I mean, she's got it out of the Bible. It says, six days shall a man work, and one he should rest. Sabbath. She calls it her Sabbath. Saturday is her Sabbath. She does exactly what she wants to do on Saturday. There's nothing wrong with that. She takes that day, and she ain't going to do nothing she don't want to do. And she calls it her Sabbath rest. If she wants to watch TV all day, she watches TV. If she wants to sleep, now every now and then she has to get out of that and stuff, but you know. But I honor that. I need that. But she got it out of the Bible, Mac. Because you know what? She'll tell me, good Lord, you're wearing me out with all this you're telling me you're going to do. I don't want anyone to hear it. It's you're making me tired. But far as work and stuff, I am going to slow down about all that one of these days. You know, I'm not going to just go wide open. I'm going to do like her. I'm going to watch TV as long as I want to. See if I can find some of that gun smoke back to back. Little House on the Prairie. Andy Griffin. Talking to a dude today about something, a little thing I'm doing, trying to help somebody. But anyways, I was talking and I said, well, I told him what I would give for this little truck, you know. And he said, wait a minute. He said, I just had the Andy Griffin thought. I said, what's that, man? He said, well, I ain't going to say it. I said, Andy Griffin thought, and I thought, I ain't watched them good movies. Them was good, clean movies. We went and took the grandkids to the movies last night, and me and Teresa made up her mind. It was called Element or whatever it was. And it was good, pretty good moral to the story, you know. But we talked about it before we went. And she said, I can tell you right now, we're going to go to this movie. She said, and if they start saying anything, you know, ungodly in those movies, we're not going to say nothing. We're just going to get up and walk out and get them grandkids out of there. And I thought to myself, I thought it takes the anointing for that. Because those poor grandkids, those poor kids, it ain't about those poor, it's about those poor kids' future. So we're sitting there and they got the 3D glasses on and everything watching this movie. We're watching introduction. I like to get there late because you don't have to sit through 45 minutes of these movies that's coming out. You know, Teresa likes to be 15 minutes early, then you got 45 minutes of that, and then the movie comes on. It went so long last night, I thought we'd rented something else. So did the lady behind Teresa. She convinced Teresa, and Teresa, well, I'll go ask them. So, I mean, because we're watching this movie, I thought this was it, and we was in the wrong theater. So Teresa goes and asks him, come back. Nah, I see it's just the introduction. I'm like, hey, that's 45 minutes later here. But it was pretty interesting. But anyways, the last one, Aiden's sitting there and he's eating the popcorn, sitting there beside me. And that alien said, that guy, whatever it was, alien said, yeah, said, we're just going to let them take over down here on Earth. He said, because these humans down here are stupid. Like that. Aiden, he looked at me and he said, Papa! I said, what is it? He said, that was a bad word. I said, it was, baby. I said, he shouldn't have said that. Stupid. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? That's a bad word. That's a bad word. That's good. Y'all doing pretty good. But you know what? See, the power, the victory is in Jesus. He causes us to triumph, always causes us to come out and triumph in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. The Bible says, give me that scripture, Hebrews, Beth, that I've got. See, you can't lay down and let life run you. You can't do it. You can, but it'll defeat you. This world's not our trainer. Forever, that's not it, is it? Yeah, that's it. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of endurance after that you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. You know in Mark 11:22, that's a command to have faith in God. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. Have faith in God. Well, I believe God. I've heard that before. Well, I believe God. Well, you don't sound like it. You know. You're meeting a financial crisis and you're coming unglued. If you got faith in God, faith is like super glue. It holds stuff strong. Puts together. But you know, the Lord told me, He said, you could have cast away your confidence and you wouldn't have got the reward of the church. He said, you could have quit. The Lord wants to have this lower building down here. And I told the Lord, I said, I'll never borrow money, never put the church in financial distress. If I can't get it by faith, believe you, I won't have it for church concern. Well, we wanted this land down here, and I'd actually mowed this land, this down here for the neighbors and everything, just when I'd mow this. And one day the Lord told me, he said, I'm going to give it to you. He said, I want you to anoint it. So the next time I mowed it, I got me a bottle of anointing oil. And I mowed it, and then I went around the edge of it, and I anointed it. See, I didn't believe in the anointing like that until I watched that guy on TV with the Crisco. I'd been to church, and they never talked about no anointing oil. And they'd say, anoint your head with a call on. They'd major on call on the elders, you know. And didn't say, anoint your head with oil. And I mean, there wasn't no oil in the churches that I could remember. But that day after I got born again, that guy, he said, go get you anointing oil. And I thought, man, what's anointing oil? I wonder what anointing oil is. Like that. And he said, forget it. He said, go get you Crisco. I thought, hey, man, that's what we use, Crisco. We use Crisco. So I went and got the Crisco, Johnny. And he quoted that scripture in the Bible, and I says, hey, man, it says, anoint your head. So I wiped a little air, you know. And I went and anointed that. He said, anoint your house. Just anoint. I'm just barely born again. Same day I'm born again, this is happening. And so I went and anointed everything. Look what's sitting back there all over the place, man. I didn't realize that I had become the righteousness of God. I didn't realize that I had been given authority over the demonic spirits that had been working in our life for 7 years or 8. I didn't realize that I had power in my hands to change the situations. I didn't even know it. You don't even have to know it. Just do it. Whatever he says do, just do it. And so, anyways, I went and anointed everything, so I anointed that down there. And then he calls me up, or run into me or something. He said, Scotty, he said, I'm selling. I'm done with that down there. I need to sell it, and I'm going to give you first chance at it. Like that. And I said, well, I'll let you know. And so I started praying about it because we didn't have the money to pay cash for it. And I don't borrow money, so I'm kind of in a little fix here. And so I go to the Lord. And I said, you got a problem. It ain't my problem. Right? We had a problem and he fixed it all through Jesus. We had a sin problem. We had a weakness problem. We had a defeat problem. We had a poverty problem. We had weakness problems. We had all these problems that came to us through Jesus that fixed us. And so, anyways, I'm fasting and praying. Fast and pray about your situations. Take a day, fast. Fast. Fast and pray. Say, God, I'm just going to set this time aside to get close to you so I can hear what you're telling me in this right here. And I yield this to you and I give it to you. You ought to fast over your ministry. If you're in ministry, well, I'm just a volunteer. There ain't no volunteers. Just like I heard somebody say, I think it was Joyce Myers today, she said, if you've got to get paid for everything you do in the ministry, something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. Some of them believe it. They ought to get paid. I've prayed for years. Let me put everybody here on salary, God. Left up to me, I'll just pay all of y'all. Y'all sit at the house, man. We come here and work for Jesus. You know? But that's not His desire. He'll do whatever He wants. He'll bless you. He'll bless you beyond what I could want for you, you know. And so I take it to the Lord, you know, and he wouldn't give me an answer. He wouldn't give me an answer. Well, He goes and buys him a for sale sign and all that, and, you know, and sets it there beside his garage. About a month later, run across him again. He said, "Now I'll go and put that up for sale. I'm giving you." I said, "Well, I want it, but I just can't give you an answer right now." I said, "You know, the Lord ain't give me the clearance." He's a Christian, but he didn't understand what I was saying. Sad, but true. The Lord ain't give me clearance, because most people's like, just do what you want to and ask God to bless it. You don't do that. You find out what God wants, and then He will bless that. Right? You find His will, then He blesses that. Well, anyways, I go on, and then the Lord speaks to me. I don't know, maybe about a month later, I guess. He said, go ahead and buy it. He said, tell him that you're going to pay, I think it was $5,000 down, and you ain't borrowing no money, and tell him you don't pay interest. So I go to him, and he said, you know what? He said, I went to get my son's. He said, my wife said, you can't sell that. That belongs to Scotty down there. He went to get his sign to put it up, and it was gone. He couldn't find his sign he made up with the number and everything on it. He looked for it, went and told his wife. He said, well, the reason why you can't sell it, because it belongs to Scotty down there. Scotty and them and their church down there. He said, it belongs to them. But in between, God wouldn't release me. A guy was thinking about buying it, going to open a lawnmower shop down there. You know how they set them lawnmowers all around, man? Have everybody's piled out, can't get the parts. Now, I mean, I had all these thoughts. Well, that's fear. Whenever you're waiting on God, don't let nothing come in there. In the meantime, don't cast away your confidence that brings the reward. Because you do the will of God, waiting on the Lord, and then it will bring the promise. It'll come. Well, when I was thinking that, fear trying to get in my heart, this preacher on TV, he said, you know what? He said, I was believing God for some land. He said, and thing, whatever, wasn't working out and whatever. He said, I believe God was going to give it to me, and they was asking a real big amount for it, you know, and I'd made him an offer and he wouldn't take it. He said, and you know what? He said, I was believing God. He said, and they sold it. He said, and it didn't change me a bit. He said, I just kept believing God, and, you know, do you want me to have that? Somehow it'll come to me, praise God. Well, he went on and something, they was going to open some big thing or whatever, praise God. And I'm sitting here hearing this, and I'm like, gosh, man, I hope you don't sell it, because I'm thinking this is speaking to me, man. But the moral of the story that I got, I thought, well, bless God, it don't make no difference if He sells it or not. It's still coming to us. One way or another, it's coming to us. See, that's not casting away your confidence. And God is faithful to you like He is everybody else. If you're hearing, He will speak to you through something. If you need encouragement, He'll bring it. Just don't throw it down like it's nothing. I got up, you know, and I thought, glory to God, even if it sells. But you know what happened? He went on and he sold it. That place didn't happen the way that they had planned. And then he come back and bought it for like millions less. And he got it. That land come back to him. And then he began to preach, it pays to wait on God. Saved him millions. Well, you know what, praise God? Lord released me, and I thought, sounds like God. Go up there and make a demand like that, man. I got a problem here. So I got to walk up there to him. See, Bible says righteous are bold. When God tells you to do something, don't you cow down. Let your flesh say, oh, what they going to say? What they going to say? I went down there going to preach on the streets, and that guy backslid on the Lord. The Lord told me where to go. I fasted, and He told me where to go. I could have went anywhere down there on the street. But He wanted me to go there. He had a purpose. And I go down there, and I walked in there, and I said, where's the owner? And they said, oh, he's back there, and blah, blah, blah. And I went back there, and I said, hey, sir, could I talk to you a minute? Yeah, sure. What do you need there, son? I said, well, I'm called to preach the gospel. He said, that's good. That's real good. I said, and the Lord wants me to preach on your parking lot. He said, no. Like that. And I said, do you hear what I said? I said, God does. God has need of your parking lot. I took that from Jesus where he said, get in there and give me that donkey. Tell him I have need of it. Woo! So I did it. I said, Jesus has, he has need of your parking lot. Oh, God does. God. I said, yeah, God. He said, okay, man. I said, I'm going to do it every Friday night. You know, what if I'd have said, honey, I don't want nobody preaching down there. Go around telling y'all, pray for me. I got rejected today. That's what I'd have done if I'd have just turned around and said, okay, man, I thank you there, you know. No, God told me to go preach on that parking lot, man. He ain't got no choice. All I got to do is stand up under the anointing destroys unbelief. And you know what? That's excitement and anointing on me. Got on him. He's like, yeah. Okay, man, I didn't understand what you said. I said, you got any lights out there? I'll leave them on for you. I said, okay. And so we did. He left the lights on. I preached for 3 years on the streets every Friday night in the summertime. I didn't want to. Took up my Friday night, Matt. That's when me and Teresa went out and eat and Travis before God intervened in that. But his intervention's worth it. If he intervenes, it's worth it. He gives a grace. He gives you grace. Some of you's called to preach. I'm glad Samantha's nervous. Oh, you're going to have to depend on Jesus. You're going to have to depend on him. Oh, and you're going to have, you, I'm telling you, he fire you. I don't know. Sometimes I don't get it till the last minute, like God. But there's no. I mean, I'm enjoying myself right now. I mean, really. I mean, what a glorious opportunity to stand before anybody and tell them about the promises are yours, and give a few little examples of how you can't stop it. Whatever God tells you, if you'll believe Him, He'll move. The devil, he'll move people. I mean, he'll maneuver you right through everything to get what, just like he did Jesus, just like he did Paul. Well, I went to him and I said, Mr. Brown, I said, I'm ready to buy that land down there at the building. Well, good, that's good, because I need to get rid of it. I said, but I got a problem. What kind of problem you got? I said, I don't borrow money. He said, well, you don't borrow money? I said, nope. I told the Lord I wouldn't borrow money for the ministry. He said, well, I guess I'll just finance it for you. I said, well, I got another problem. He said, well, what's it? I said, we don't pay interest. Well, why don't you just tell me how much you want to pay down the payments? I said, I already got that figured out too. You just get the paperwork done. I'm going to pay you $5,000 down, $500 a month till it's paid for. $1,000. $1,000 a month. We stepped out in faith. Right after that, some people quit. I'm like, oh, Jesus, we couldn't afford it to start with. Now these people left us. And then backslid Doris is one of them. Started tithing. Backslid. God dealt with her. Is that right? She didn't know nothing about it. Caused a little heathen. I'm just kidding, Doris. But God brought the money. We paid it off early. When I signed the papers, I got up and I walked out of there. And see, I believe in being debt-free even back then. I went, praise God. And so I walked out of there and I turned around. And I said, we'll never pay it full term. And they don't know what I'm saying. I don't guess. And I walked out of there. Bless God, we paid it off 1 year, wasn't it? 1 year, it was paid off in 1 year. When they left, it just boosted my faith. Glory to God. Money, I thought, none of these things move me. This ain't going to move me. God, you said, like God, if he said you're healed, then you're healed. Don't let nothing move you. If he said no weapons formed against you will prosper, don't be shocked when weapons comes against you. Just don't let it prosper. Don't give it no place. Don't be shocked when your family members, half of them, get mad at you. Don't be shocked when you invite people to church and they don't come and you feel rejected. Don't be shocked at none of that stuff. Just keep marching. The Bible says we are heirs. Give me that last scripture, Beth, I think. I think that's the one I want. What is it, Romans? Corinthians. I may not have put it on there. Yeah. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Somebody say heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we are heirs and we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And God spoke to me when I found that out. God spoke to me through, I think it's in Psalms, wherever it's at. I'm reading and it says, the earth and everything in it belongs to me, says the Lord in the Bible. And when I read that, he said, you're an heir. He said, so everything that I have is yours. You have access to everything because now you are a joint heir with Jesus. He grafted you in. Houses, lands, all of these things. If we seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added to us. That's why the Lord told me, he said, if you will follow me, he said, I will bring you to the place to where you want nothing. And at that moment, I'm 27, 8 years old. I want everything, Johnny. I mean, I want a nice house. I want a good marriage. I want to be a good dad. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I wanted to honor my mother and all of these things. I mean, I had a lot of things that I wanted to be. And when he said that, but you know, the majority of the success that I experienced is because of doing the will of God in concerning the church and stuff. When my business would get slow, God would say, go work on the building. And I'm on the top. Every time I get on top of this building, I'd be like, and then my phone would just start ringing. And I mean, it would just be like, then I'd be too busy to work on it. And the Lord would say, what does the scripture say? Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. He said, the building is part of my kingdom. He said, you're seeking it first. You're doing what I'm telling you to do. He said, and all these things, these things in the earth is yours. He said, it opens the door for them to come to you, praise God. So don't you not pursue the promises of God. I mean, doctors, they're not healers. I'm telling you right now, they'll tell you right now, I can't heal you. They'll tell you. They study medicine and all that, and they go with science, but how many knows that our body, he's our healer. God is our healer. He's our healer, and we believe those promises, praise God. So I want to encourage you, don't back down on the promises, praise God. Don't listen to the world and people. I mean, a lot of the churches preaching, you know, against the word. I mean, bringing discouragement to the body of Christ, you know. I believe frustrated their self. I believe getting confused their self. Get away from this, confusion sets in. You'll get confused, praise God. And Satan's the author of it. Let's bow.